10 Swedes Must Die by Martin Osterdahl. Translated by Peter Sean Voltemad. Performed by James Patrick Cronin. Captain Lyomkin looked out over the control room. As many of the submarine's 111-person crew as there was room for had gathered around him, some squatting, some on benches, some standing.
"Sergei," said Lyomkin, "we've heard that you're going to be the admiral of the Russian fleet one day. Is that true?"
"Yes, Captain,"
Sergei answered without hesitation. The comrade who stood closest to him clapped him on the shoulder.
"Your wife certainly gave me that impression when I met her at the officers' club in Vidyayevo one dark night in December last year."
The men laughed loudly. Smiling, Sergei shook his head.
"For that reason, Mr. Future Admiral, this day marks an important step in your life. Let us begin."
Lyomkin gave Sergei a large tin cup. He then set a rusty hammer hanging from the ceiling in motion, swinging back and forth.
"Go ahead."
Sergei held the cup in front of his mouth. Lyomkin watched as the young submariner's gaze passed from face to face. They all looked at Sergei expectantly. Strong, intelligent eyes, warm smiles. Lyomkin himself had gone through the same rite of initiation when he had first joined a submarine crew. Brothers, friends for life. Sergei was now to be initiated into the Northern Fleet and to become a member of the submarine's indomitable, unsurpassed crew. The men around him had been selected because of their competence, but also because of their ability to get along and work together for long periods of time in tight spaces far below the surface of the sea.
"Today I will become a member of the submarine crew," Sergei began. "I will drink seawater from the Barents Sea from a depth of 80 meters in one draft without taking a break to breathe."
He glanced at his captain. Lyomkin nodded, indicating that he should continue.
"I do this so that all will go well."
Sergei closed his eyes, raised the cup to his lips, and let the ice-cold water run down his throat. When the cup was empty, he opened his eyes and set it down in front of Lyomkin. He then turned to the hammer hanging from the ceiling. He bent his knees and leaned forward. To the echoing sound of the men's rejoicing and applause, he let the hammer strike his mouth in a kiss that sealed his entry into the most legendary and heroic company in the Russian armed forces. When the rite of initiation was completed, a communications officer approached Lyomkin.
"Captain, we've received orders to surface and await the transmission of further information via telephone."
What now? Thought Lyomkin. New directives so close to the beginning of the exercise. He looked at his wristwatch. The rite had gone on about a minute too long, but it was important to maintain morale on board. Now, there wasn't much time before the torpedo room needed to be manned. The fleet's highest-ranking officer's amateurish leadership had negatively affected preparations in so many ways that Lyomkin was no longer surprised. But this, again, reminded him of his disappointment. Things were not what they used to be.